You're listening to But Wait, There's More. This is our Faith Made Clear series, short conversations where we believe clarity is kindness and kindness starts with truth.
Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. If you've ever stood in a bookstore staring at a shelf of Bibles and wondered, okay, which one do I actually pick? You're not alone. People ask pastors this all the time. Which translation is the best translation? Which is the one I should be reading? I heard a story one time about a seminary professor who was talking about translations, and he said, the best translation is the one that you'll actually read. And I love that. It's simple and it is true. But I think it's also helpful for us to understand why the translations are different, because they're all trying to do something slightly different. So if you will, go with me today on a little trip to the bookstore. I guess the first question we need to answer is why? Why are there so many different translations? And the answer is simple. Probably you already know it if you pause to think about it. The Bible wasn't written in English, right? It was written in Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And anytime you move from one language to another language, translators have to make some choices. They have to decide, how literal should I be? Does this phrase have an English equivalent? Should we match every word, or do we match what the sentences mean? Should the reading level feel ancient? Should it be formal, modern, or should it be conversational? And you combine all of those questions with discoveries of older manuscripts and updates in the English vocabulary and the fact that language just shifts over time and seasons. What you end up with are multiple translations, all trying to faithfully communicate the same inspired word of God. It might be helpful if you think of translations on a spectrum, on maybe the left-hand side, the more literal, and on the right-hand side, the more readable. And none of these are necessarily bad. They just serve different purposes. So I'll give you four stops on the translation spectrum. On the far left, the word-for-word or formal equivalence translation. Bibles in this category aim to stay as close as possible to the original wording. And examples are the ESV, which is accurate and modern and very popular for studying and preaching, or the New American Standard Bible. That's the one that I preach from. There's a 2020 edition, but the 95 is the one that I, as a teenager, was reading and growing in, and so that's why I've stuck with it and still love it today. It's literal, almost, you know, at times a little wooden, but it's crystalline precision. And the newest kind of offering of translations that's really become popular in recent years is the CSB, which kind of rides the line between the word-for-word category and the next one we'll talk about. If you're the kind of person who likes to trace words or go deep in study, word-for-word translations are great for you. The second stop on our translation spectrum is a meaning-for-meaning or a mediating approach. And these translations try to balance accuracy with readability. Probably the most widely used translation today is the New International Version. Maybe you're like me and you grew up with a 1984 edition of the NIV. It was updated in 2011 with some more modern English phrases and clarifying some plural meanings in it. But the NIV is a great translation. The CSB, again, fits this category as well. Translators call it optimal equivalence. It's where it's not overly literal and it's not overly loose. And those are great choices for everyday reading and teaching. Third stop on our spectrum is the thought-for-thought translation or the dynamic equivalence approach. And here the priority is clarity of the ideas, not necessarily matching every word. Great example here is the New Living Translation. I love it. It's incredibly readable. Translators here worked from the original languages, but their aim was to make the meaning as plain and clear as possible. I think the New Living Translation is excellent for new believers. It's great for devotional reading. I use it as a companion in my study. And one more stop on our spectrum is the paraphrase, where these aren't actually translations from Hebrew and Greek, but they are restatements of existing English translations. An example you're probably familiar with is the Message paraphrase that Eugene Peterson crafted. It is beautiful and fresh and pastoral. I don't use it for detailed study, but I think it's an amazing approach at seeing familiar passages with new eyes and with a fresh approach. The Living Bible is another example of this. It's been around for a long time. It's very simple. It's great in its devotional appeal. And when you grab a paraphrase like this, they can, I think, help you feel the text in a way, but I wouldn't recommend them to be your only Bible. So which one should you use? That's the big question. I'll give you three simple guidelines today. Number one, we'll follow the professor's advice. Use a Bible that you'll actually read, right? So if the translation feels so formal, you can't get through a chapter, then choose one that fits your reading rhythm in the season of life you're in. Use a Bible that you read. Second guideline, use more than one. Why not, right? I have multiple Bible translations that I will use throughout the week. I have a primary one I use for everyday reading and a secondary Bible for going deeper in study. See a passage through different lenses, through different translations, can often bring clarity to our understanding. Third guideline, don't argue over preferences. You know, some Christians act like using a different translation is a spiritual downgrade, but it's not. It's not. Every committee has to make some choices. Every translation has some strengths, and the vast majority of them communicate the gospel very clearly and faithfully. You know, the miracle is not that we have so many translations. The miracle is that God has spoken and that we can read his word in our own language with confidence. So whichever translation helps you to hear his voice and love his word and follow Jesus more closely, use that one. Read it. Live it. Let it shape you. Thanks for listening. Until next time, may God's word, whatever translation you use, be a lamp for your feet and a light on your path.